Okay, let's see. Is it check, baby? Check, baby. 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that too loud? It looks like it's going big blue lines. All right, I think that's gonna work. So, welcome back. I am a day late. I missed last yesterday. My girlfriend's kid had a birthday party, so I was a little tied up with that. But it's Saturday night now. It's 6 o'clock. I'm gonna do, this is the ninth podcast, and I just enabled the master mic for the extra $6 a month on Buzzsprout. So we will see if it works. I'm losing all of my bets on college football and hockey today. I haven't won one yet. I got another one going on tonight, but I don't. I'm not even gonna pay attention to it for a little while. I don't have anybody else to interview tonight. I did not. I do appreciate if it's the same person that's listened to this. I think there's two or three people who have downloaded or listened to my last couple. I really appreciate y'all. That's very, very cool of you. If you have any questions for me anytime, feel free to ask. I've been experimenting with Facebook ads, and I've been getting a lot of clicks on the website, and I don't know exactly how that's working, and I'm definitely not an expert in SEO or advertising, but I've looked it up what the average CTR click-through rate is, and it goes between 0.5 and 5. And I'm at like 4.85 right now. So I feel like I should be patting myself on the back. I am using Facebook ads. I'm targeting males in airports, in like a dozen airports. So I don't know if they're going to Vegas or not, but the ad says listen to the audiobook while flying to Vegas. It does seem like I got a few more clicks in Cancun's airport and Cabo San Lucas airport, but I'm not gonna fool with it anytime soon. Okay, I'm gonna add, I'm gonna put one of the poems from my quarterly current events explained in irreverent poems. I'm gonna post one of them. I don't know which one yet. And then while I do that, I'm going to think about. Oh man, I must hit the button to quit the recording. So, I'm gonna add another chapter. I don't know which one, but anyways, I appreciate y'all listening. I appreciate you coming back, and please enjoy. I hope you get some laughs out of this one, and I'll be back in a little while. Peace.
Chapter 6. Nuvaring toss. The things we refuse are the things we could use. Bob Marley. When I was lucky enough to get favorited back, it normally happened near the end of the month. The custom chime used in the app, when one of your favorites gives a favorite back, was the thrill that justified the money spent. Works like a video poker machine jackpot, but in reverse. Easy to get hooked on hitting it, but even when you're winning, you keep losing. Sometimes they like you first, and that's a warning sign, a red flag that they're desperate for cash. The worst will ask you to Cash App or Venmo before the meeting, which is more of a reason for them to stand you up. I never did it. Many are bots trying to get you into a cam room, and if you keep falling for them, you'll feel like Fabio, but don't click on the referral link. It's a black hole. Every now and then, when the favorites match quickly and you're both down to have dinner that night, the rush feels like good Molly. I miss the excitement of matching with sexy women on an idle Wednesday night in Vegas. I don't miss being stood up over and over. If you're lucky and she shows up before you or shortly after you, the relief of not being stood up will artificially inflate how much you think she likes you. You'll need to muscle through the no-shows and expect to get stood up about half the times you make plans. Maybe your experiences will be different. I hope so, but I hope you don't bother. I can't say exactly why it happens that way, but it does, and it's one of the reasons I went on so many dates. Similar to the law of large numbers and how actuaries price insurance premiums, Each date attempt was a coin flip at best. Degens like me are duped by 50-50 odds. Even when they'd show up, the chances they'd be someone other than their profile pictures increased the closer we got to the end of the month. I've written many pages about the dates that showed up looking different than who I met online, but I felt like shit afterwards. I still have the snapshots and rough drafts, but they're not as interesting, like punching down, and depressing too. One day while browsing the currently online, usually denoted with a green dot in the top left corner of their profile picture, unless they specifically change their settings to be hidden when online list, I noticed a young lady covered in tattoos. Her profile said she loved Twitter, was bisexual, born and raised in Vegas, and changed her hair color to Mandarin orange. She didn't have many profile pictures, which I appreciated, but liked her ink-covered thighs, sleeves, chest, back, and the side of her head looked like palm trees at the beach. Her profile said she was 22, worked in media, which is always vague, didn't smoke or drink alcohol, but she loved her puppy and playing video games. There was a familiar feeling in her choice of words. The voice of her profile reminded me of someone I knew, so I favorited her, and she favorited me back soon after. After texting a couple of times on the app, she gave me her number, and we made plans for dinner that night at Kona Grill. I got there first and asked for a table for two, tried to joke that I was on a blind date and the young lady might ask for Tommy. The hostess was cool enough to seat me at a table where I could see the entrance, and I ordered an iced tea. I started playing on my phone, trying to avoid the essay app, in case she checked to see if I was actively online. In hindsight, I should have been writing this memoir while waiting for each date. I had plenty of time, and it's way easier in the moment. Trying to remember all the details takes lots of weed and no distractions, which I don't always have at the same time. It has been fun as hell thinking back and reliving the moments while typing into my phone, but more effort would pay off. When Amber walked into the restaurant, we made eye contact, and she started walking my way, 10 times sexier than her pics. Her short shorts and long legs were covered in tattoos, while her hair was a much brighter orange in person than the photos. She was rocking a year-round Halloween thing, and I was a huge fan. She was blunt and upfront about being a porn star and famous for anal scenes. I tried not to flinch because it made my mind wander and turn me on, even though I'm not into anal. I've watched tons of porn, but usually skipped the anal scenes and couldn't remember seeing her, so I guessed she did some niche work. Thinking about her naked ass and perky boobs got me hard quickly. I noticed one of the busboys staring at us while whispering to the bartender across the room. Their stares were annoying, and I could tell she noticed before he approached our table to welcome her back. She was cool, thanked him for saying hi, and asked how he'd been. When he walked away, she told me the last time she had dinner, she mentioned she did adult films, so he must have Googled her. She recognized that twinkle in his eyes, screaming, "I've seen you get fucked in the ass." We hit it off. I thanked her for being blunt. She was a beautiful young woman and funny as hell, a dry wit. She had street smarts and knew how to make money filling up her calendar. She was aware of the value of her time on screen or social media activity, and I liked that about her. When her gigs would cancel or change dates, life would get complicated, and rolling with those punches took patience and a cash cushion. She was generally happy with the shoots, except when the houses were a mess or the sheets didn't look clean. She said her biggest pet peeve was the smoke alarms beeping because the batteries were dead. The tall ceilings made for better scenes, but without ladders, the beeps kept beeping. She liked fucking on camera, and she liked the thrill of meeting a partner she was into. I must have been smiling.
Government shutdown. The Fed might raise up interest rates again. Republicans might shut down the government if they can. The dumbest group of people can't take responsibility. They're constantly wrong, questioning others' ability. We've been here before, on the brink of shutdowns. The impact is diluted. The actors are clowns. Only applies if serious. That's not how they roll. Stories behind these guys need to own it whole. I want to know who is getting paid to obstruct. It started with Ted Cruz, green eggs and ham. He's a cuck. Someone or some group keeps paying these losers. Hope they all ride to jail in the back of cruisers. Take the Tuberville example. Barely a mediocre coach prevented the military from stomping a roach. For months now, he's held up bosses from their promotions over the Pentagon helping women soldiers get abortions. Why the fuck does he think that decision devolves him? How is it his business they risk life and limb? While he tried to coach and then somehow found himself running for Senate, we deserve to know how. Who was financing this shitty right-wing nut, weakening our defenses, specifically for what? How do we get to a point the whole country is weak because of one paid shill, not on a winning streak? Why don't his peers call out rookie mistakes, no checks and balances? Maybe they're all fakes. And realizing this is tough on any mind, young and old, but it's more obvious with time, frustrating how bold. These old and young cons aren't there for any of us. They've been self-dealing so long, save deceit for the lush. And at the same time, Ukraine lobbies in fear, ask Congress for cash, but will that check clear? Something is happening to the clues Republican ranks. Who's the most full of shit? Whose dad owns the banks? How anyone takes serious the right-wing agenda? They're robbing us all at the polls, please remember. They're getting nothing done, seeking out photo shoots. Their votes are bought cheap, wondering who's in cahoots.
Like the whole time we had dinner, and when dessert came, a huge Snickers ice cream cake, she looked me straight in the eyes and told me she wanted to fuck me all night that night. She told me that she wanted to meet someone real, and I passed the test. She liked that I wasn't an asshole or in the film business, so that made me twice as lucky. I couldn't wait to leave and get her back to my house and naked on my couch. I remembered to pack a big blue Nizogara in my top jeans pocket so I could chew it up on the drive home. I also remembered to have plenty of chewing gum to get rid of the sour chemical taste when chewing those pills. She didn't lose eye contact with me for minutes over dessert, and while waiting for the bill, I was roped into this young lady. I also remembered to wipe myself as soon as we got back to my house. Then I brought my two little dogs upstairs to the extra bedroom and closed the door so they wouldn't get in the way. But soon the sounds of young Amber moaning and begging me to come inside of her would block them out. Before we left the restaurant, she reminded me that getting tested regularly for STDs is mandatory for girls like her. I'd been tested for everything a few weeks before, and we were both clean and happy to stay that way. I wasn't as worried about being inside her, since most of the dick she's had went into the other hole. The first time we did it, she started grabbing my cock as soon as we got on the couch and before I could turn on the TV. I flipped to a documentary about the planets on Netflix for some non-annoying background noise. I gently pulled off her pants and turned her around so she could sit on my face. I love when the IUD conversation comes up at dinner because my dick starts to swell in those first few moments. If it happens at lunch, I'm distracted the rest of the day until I can jerk off. My imagination starts running wild, thinking of all the positions and instances I could come inside of her. But she said it in the context of thinking about getting one, and I'd switched to the NuvaRing because she was over forgetting to take the pill. I couldn't bring myself to come inside of her the first time, so I pulled out while she was bent over and exploded all over her back. I was horny and wanted her more and more as she licked my limping cock so I'd recover quicker. She joked how some male actors need shots to keep them hard, but she'd spare me the pain. I told her I liked the generic Viagra or Cialis, and she was glad I used them without her having to ask me to. She offered to get me the name brand ones for cheap, but never took her up on it. The second time was also on my couch. She laid on her back while I was on my knees, and at that angle, my dick pulled her NuvaRing out, and she started blushing. The ring sat at an angle on top of my erect cock, like I won the prize at the bizarre ring toss booth. This wasn't the first time I've had this scenario happen to me, but I tried to act surprised and helped her slide it back into place. She wasn't fazed and laid down flat on her stomach so I could slide myself in from behind.
Need those reviews. I need those reviews or I'll lose my job. It's the stars ain't five, the manager's a slob. Not a one, two, or three, and expect to stick around. If you need more hours, how's that fake complaint sound? Don't take it personally. Just do it better. You had too many chances. Resignation letter. But it's a bullshit job. You'll quit without notice. The boss won't care. He's banging a hostess. Turnover is cheaper than grinding it out with an annoying hourly, regardless of clout. Don't forget the barbecue sauce or expect an angry call. Even if on Christmas Day, double time pay ain't small. These jobs don't matter. You know it's the truth. Trading time for nickels, insurance won't cover your tooth. Dan, I'm to replace the smartest guy in the room. Who's going to do my job? Remote sweep a broom? Automate away. Let's see how that goes. Who's going to refill those fries? New manager Twinkle Toes? Who do these people think it's worth their time to review? A place they don't like as if they have a f***ing clue. Why do they think we care about what they think? We have enough going on dealing with a broken sink. The customer needs to be hungry, but we have a ton to do before we feed anyone worried about a fucking review.
She was my favorite shower partner and liked washing my back, balls, and between my legs. I was thrilled she wanted to sleep over that night, and we did it a few more times upstairs in my bed. One moment that stands out after she was riding me, grabbing my balls, and playfully asked if I was ready for anal. When I didn't seem excited at first, she yelled at me to stick it in her ass, and my dick went limp. She apologized for killing the mood, tried to get me hard again, but I was spent, and tried to assure her it wasn't her fault. We jumped in the shower again, and she wouldn't stop smiling. I miss her positive energy so damn much. She left extra early in the morning because she'd left her dog at her friend's place overnight. We didn't have sex because of the rush, but she promised she'd be back. I liked her. She was fun to hang out with and very fun in bed, but she wasn't enough to replace the one I missed. I'm not sure I made a big mistake, and I think back with regret on this odd time of my life often. I let the orange hair adult video star and her puppy move in for a month or two, and life was good. But then one day I got paranoid that I wasn't able to have any other girls come over, so I asked her to leave in 2 weeks. I made up some bullshit story that my ex was coming back to stay with me when she wasn't. I regret that part. I should have been more open to her staying and been more creative with the arrangement. In the time she stayed with me, she spent a few weekends in Los Angeles doing films, and one of the times she came back in a bad mood with a large bug bite on her forehead. I found it tough to fuck her after knowing she was fucking all weekend on camera, but I also saw it as work, like any other job. Sex work is work, and always has been, and needs to be treated that way for all our sakes. She was so cool about the lifestyle, it made me briefly consider doing videos with her. Kinda wish I would have tried. She dug a big blackhead out of my left ear that I had no idea was there, and made me wonder how many other girls saw it and didn't say anything or offer to remove it. She also spent lots of time on Twitter interacting with her fans, and sometimes those fans were rude, and she'd take it personally. About a week before she moved out, I had an important presentation on a Thursday and was noticeably stressed all week. I'm reminded of this story every time I see the business cards of the guys we met. It usually gets me stiff when I remember how cool she was to me. When I got home from practicing a short presentation the night before the big meeting, she banged my brains out. She was laying on the couch watching TV and didn't say much, but started kissing and rubbing my shoulders. Then she pulled off my shorts and asked me to unwind inside her. I picked her up, carried her upstairs to take a shower first. She washed my whole body and I washed hers. Too bad that would be the last time. The meeting the next day was a disaster, and we haven't talked to the guys since, but when I see the silly business card, I remember unloading inside of her. I'm bummed how it ended. I could have done a better job figuring out an arrangement with her, and it sucks. Of all the girls I met using that app, she was the most honest and real with me, and I regret not reciprocating and appreciating that more.